Good afternoon. As you know, we're journeying through a series entitled When Questions Are Answers, and this is our third week. But before we get into the Word, I do want to give you hope that you all had a great week this week. I did have a phenomenal week this week, starting off with after the service last Sunday, I had a moment to be with my grandson, Philip, and it was the first time that we actually wore the same color of clothes. So there's like a bond there of sorts. Please pray for Philip. We are really very enthused about him. He's showing different signs of superhuman abilities. We're not quite sure yet. But it was taken on picture that he's been doing push-ups. His parents caught him. And for someone who's barely 2 months old, this is a pretty amazing moment just to watch this thing. So we tried to quiz him and see if it was all physical, but is there something like a kind of mental prowess? So we asked him the question, 1 plus 1, and he responded. And he said, that's pretty amazing. So we were so impressed. So we said, okay, that might be a chamba. You know, I mean, the guy got lucky. So we tried the second question, what is the square root of 4? And he responded and said, so you know, it's been said that you don't brag about your sons or your children, but you can brag about your grandchildren. This is one of those moments where I really feel proud about this. So we were wondering if it was just the math brain that we had or somebody who had the languages in his head as well. So we asked him, what is the first letter of our church? And he said, same thing. And finally, we wanted to make sure that we had a child that had not just the physical appropriateness, the brain skills, but dexterity, you know, the use of the hands, the fingers and all that. So we asked him, can you make the sign of peace? And as you know, he did it again. So that's my, please pray for him. I mean, we're so happy with just this child, this grandson, 100% pure joy, no responsibilities. That's what we're getting to learn more and more. I want to update you very quickly about our parking lot. Our parking lot update, I went down there again, this time with our pastors just to walk through and make sure that by the first week of June, we're back to our parking. We're here again, and we're making sure that that will open up. I just came from the Tristan service. We have two services there. Our goal is that on Sundays, we can have places where we can do discipleship, foundation classes, and really help you in your journey as disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the goal. And we're going to have, once we open, we're going to have 238 slots available. It's a total of 323 slots. We won't have everything available on the first week of June, only because there are still places that need to dry up and sorts. But it'll be a safe environment. We should be able to park here again. Thank God for that. And I want to thank all of you for being generous. And I thank those of you who signed up for the banquet. We're still needing money for the building. And if you want to join, participate, that you can still get cards from the back. We rarely do a fundraiser. If we don't even do a fundraiser in our services, we try to do that on the side in special dinner banquets, just so as not to detract from the Word of God and just the worship. Today we're trying to get on our third part of our series, When Questions Are Answers. This particular question is probably one of those questions that's a direct answer as it is already. It's one of those, Jesus said, who do you say I am? It's kind of like an answer, but it wasn't as direct as this one would be. Last week was, the questions were not as directly where they were or why are you so afraid. This one is pretty direct. This one in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you do that? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet do not do what I say? And it's almost like a given. Why do you call me boss? Why do you call me chief? Why do you call me master? And yet you don't do what I say. It's almost like the answer is already there. But Jesus begins to explain this to his disciples. And he says, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. He begins to unpack this question. And he says these three parts of it, who comes to me, there's a coming to Jesus, which hopefully we all do, and hears my words, and then there's this thing that says, puts them into practice. I will show you what they are like. You're going to see what the difference with people who come to Jesus for various reasons. We come to church. We go to Jesus because of our needs, the desire for to be blessed, the desire to be healed. But there's this thing about hearing his word and putting them in practice. And he says there's a disparity, there's a difference between these two kinds of people. And I will show you what they're like. And he begins to explain what they're like. They're like a man who's building a house, who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came and the torrent struck the house, but could not shake it because it was well built. This idea of laying the foundation on a rock is so critical to making sure that when the storms come, and I like the language, and you've heard me say this time and again, it didn't say if the storms come. It says when the flood came, when the storms will come. In other words, it's just a matter of time. It's really not a question of is it going to come? It is going to come. It's just a matter of when is it going to come. And the torrent struck the house but could not shake it. And that's where you want to be. You want to have this house that you've built, this faith that you've built that is unshakable because it was built well. You want to make sure that you build well. And so Jesus is describing the difference between these two types of builders and those who say, Lord, Lord, but do not put it in practice. Now he begins to say, but the one who hears my words and does not put them in practice. Both of these people heard the word, one put it into practice, the other one did not put it into practice. It's like a man who built a house. He also built a house, but on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed, and the destruction was complete. And there's that moment, and it will come. And you know this, you've heard me preach about it, talk about it, and I'm turning 57 in May, and I've been through a lot of storms. I mean, some very serious ones. But by the grace of God, I've been able to stand the storms. And you know, when I meet with people, you guys email me, I counsel people, I sit down with people. The basic difference is not very wide. People get sick, two kinds of people, both are sick. One is not shaking, the other one is shaking, even though the seriousness of the disease is not even anywhere near the other guy. It's because of the way both people built on the rock. People experience reversals in business. People experience issues in their relationships. Some people get crazy and leave their husbands or their wives. And yet you find that there are people that are not shaken despite the reality of what they're facing. And at the end of the day, the difference is the way they built on the rock. And it says that if you don't do that, it collapses. And the destruction is complete. And that's where we don't want to be. We don't want to build and come to Jesus, hear the word, and yet in the midst of that, it still doesn't work for us. I saw this picture on the internet about this building in China that they built, this massive building that just fell. I mean, the whole thing just fell. Can you imagine a 30-story building just kablook? And when they were checking what happened, it was the way it was built. Foundations were not right. And sometimes amongst Christians, you look at that and you wonder, what went wrong there? Why is it that they all heard the word, they all came to Jesus, but for some reason this life has collapsed and it's a mess and I must admit to you that my life has never been a bed of roses. I mean, I've gone through challenges. But it's not a collapsed life. It's actually rather a victorious life in the midst of the shakings and the torrents. What's interesting about this building is that it's not just one building. It's actually part of a cluster of buildings. So you think about if you were in the other house and you owned that unit, you would be wanting to sell it already. I mean, because you're wondering, okay, if that can happen to him, it can happen to me. And the difference is this idea of Lord, Lord. That Jesus is not just a great teacher, not just my Savior, my eternal destiny completed in Him, but He is actually Master and Lord of my life. I want to talk to you today about the three stages of Lordship. How does Lordship apply to my life? How does that happen? How do I make that a reality? And I pray that as you learn from this, from Jesus' words, that you can apply it to your day-to-day life and find yourselves in a place where you have a solid foundation for your life. Now, at the beginning, in stage one here, Luke chapter 6, verse 47, as for everyone who comes to me, there's the place where Lordship begins with a coming to Jesus. I know that you all came to church today, and I'm glad that you did. And in a sense, in a very real sense, you came to Jesus to worship Him, to sense the Holy Spirit, to praise Him, to hear the preaching of His word. And that's what it means. But I pray that you don't just come to Jesus on a Sunday, but that tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that you would keep coming to Jesus and searching for Jesus. There's a place where our course of our days are, we're loaded with certain things. There's a difference between a load that God gives you, and there's a difference between a burden. A burden is something that's hard to lift. It's a burden. A burden, the Bible says, carry each other's burdens. In other words, when you have a burden, you need someone to help you carry it. If you're from Tacloban and all the things that have happened there, people have to come alongside of you and help you carry the burden. You can't carry it alone. But there's a Bible also says, carry your own load. There is a load that God gives you, just the right amount of load that you're supposed to carry. Sometimes Christians think that everything that God gives them is a burden. No. Most of the things that God gives you is just your daily load. How many of you know if you have a husband or a wife, he gave you a load? Don't ever say your wife's a burden. How many of you are here? I mean, that's going to be a big problem. But she is a load. Amen. Hello. It's not easy to live with somebody, even though she's as great as mine. Scorion. Ting. But are you here with me? I mean, there's a load. And God gives you a load. There's a certain load that you, and loads are important. So you can lift it up, because if you don't have a load, you're never going to grow spiritual muscles. Loads, when you go to a gym, you're not going to get muscles if you don't lift anything. You're going to have to take some load. But a load is something that you lift and put down and lift and put down until it grows some of your spiritual muscles. At some point, your muscles get bigger, and then they put on a greater load that seems to be a burden to others, but to you it's just like another load because your muscles have grown, because you've gotten used to carrying that load. Are you here with me? And coming to Jesus is learning to carry your own load, but there's a place where it says, cast your cares upon me. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. There's a coming to Jesus of a relationship, of lordship, that you're acknowledging, God, I'm taking my load, and I'm carrying it on a daily basis, but I'm coming to you because I know that as I come to you, you will give me rest. Now get this. If you carry a certain load in a gym for a certain amount of time, as you flex that and bring it up and bring it down, it builds muscles. But if you keep carrying that load for an entire hour, or worse, for an entire day, that will not build you muscles, that will injure you. And that's where you come to Jesus, as you carry that load. And your wife nags you, or your husband does not do what he's supposed to do, and then you start to cast your cares to Jesus, the Bible says. And you come to Him and cast it, and tomorrow the load's back. And you lift it again. And when you can't carry it anymore and the business of life becomes heavy, you cast your cares to Jesus because He will give me rest. And then the load's back again. And then you keep lifting that. And over a course of time, as you've learned to come to Jesus and carry that load and cast it, spiritual muscles get bigger. And it's able to carry even greater loads. I love this story that I read recently from Charisma News. And this is an interesting story. It's about two lesbians who came to church and they were really looking for trouble. They went to church specifically to look for trouble. This is a true story. It's actually part of a book. I want to read excerpts of it to you. It says, when two lesbians walk into a church seeking trouble. Now, this girl named Amy said, let's just go for fun. We'll see how much we can push their buttons. In other words, they wanted to test if Christians will get irritated if they walked in and they were gay. And they were actually doing this to test the church. And how many of you know, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if somebody has a different sexual orientation, they're welcome. Sometimes with Christians, if somebody had long hair, they think the guy is from hell. No, he's not. The guy has long hair. The guy probably does not know enough, and thank God he came to Jesus. He's coming to Jesus. And what happens next in this story is Amy and said, I want to, they say, we didn't like the idea of hanging around Christians, but come on, Amy insisted. I hear their motto is come as you are. And I just want to prove that they're come as you are unless you're gay. So they wanted to prove that that wasn't true, that they weren't welcome to the church, that the church was one of these sacred bubbles where you you're not, people who are sinners are not welcome. And so what happens is, the rest of the story in the next page of that article says, I came on a mission to shock people, admits Amy. Rachel and I would hold hands in front of people, but instead of disgusted looks of contempt we expected, people met eyes with us and treated us like real people. And they were shocked. So we started coming to church weekly. We kept moving closer to the front each week, trying to get the reaction so that we'd be rejected sooner than later. We couldn't shock people. We stopped trying and started learning. Are you still with me? How many of you know it takes coming to Jesus to arrive at lordship? Sometimes there are people that are in the stage of coming to Jesus, and you're probably in the stage of carrying burdens, but they're not. But your job is to allow them that entry, to come to Jesus. Now, not long after that, Rachel and I stopped seeing each other. How many of you know your earthly relations are not forever, but your relationship with God is for eternity? But I kept coming to church because I was searching for something, Amy admits. I definitely wasn't looking to change. It wasn't my lesbian lifestyle that I was bringing to God, but I wondered if God had answers to my deeper longings. The problem was I didn't trust God at all. The more I listened and learned about the teachings of Jesus, the more I started to actually believe that God really did love me. I heard more and more about being His masterpiece, and in time I actually started to believe it. The more I believed God actually, so many actuallys in this article. The more I believed God actually could see something of value in me, the more I trusted Him. Over time, Amy slowly opened her heart and her struggles to Christ. A coming to Jesus. And Jesus declares this in John chapter 6, verse 37. Allow all those that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Jesus wants us to come to Him. Jesus wants us to enter His place. And you know what? If you're at the starting mode like Amy, you come to Jesus as you are. If you're like one of us who's been here for a long time, you come to Jesus anyway. You come to Jesus every day. I pray that you start your day every day coming to Jesus, seeking after Jesus. I pray that that's the default mode, that you're looking for that moment. Lord, I just want to cast my cares upon You and be with You today. Now, stage number two, in the journey of lordship, Luke chapter 6, verse 47 says, He comes to me and hears my words. It's one thing to come to Jesus. It's a totally different matter to hear His word. The Bible says that there are people who hear, but they don't really hear. They listen, but they don't hear. And the Bible tells us to realize that it's not enough to come to Jesus, but we should be able to hear the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes, the way you build your faith, comes from hearing and hearing the message. In other words, hearing not just, but hear the real essence of that message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ, about Christ. It's not just, you see, sometimes we look to the Bible and we choose what we want to hear, but the essence of Scripture is the message is heard through the word about Christ. The essence of all of life is Jesus Christ. The idea of all of life to work together for our good resonates only to the degree that we understand that the whole entirety of Scripture is about Jesus. I love this story of Jojit and Jem. They once heard some friends say that, you know, there's a big, nice building in Fort right beside Market Mall, and they give free child care service, and you can park for free. And so this couple came to church, and wow, free parking, nice air conditioning, free child care with a pass and a claim stub. It doesn't get any better than this. What kind of service is this? So they deposited their children with the grandmother, and they said, okay, grandmama, Lola, you stay there with our child, and you take care of our child. Here's the Sarah-lock, here's the baby, and we'll be back. And so the poor baby and the grandmother are there. All the services are already finished, and they're still watching a movie in the mall and shopping. It's a true story. And Jem and Georgia just kept coming to church, doing this within 2007. They kept coming to church. Finally, somebody said, this is a church, and there's a service. You might want to listen to the preaching of the word. So they came up and sat at the back. And as the word was being preached, this was the service. It was a 10 o'clock service. I think at the time it was 9 and 11. I think we didn't have the 8 o'clock service just yet. And so when the preaching of the word came, they heard the message about God is a father and that God loves you and that God wants to save you. And he wants to do that through Jesus Christ. And they both got saved, but she got radically saved. And she began to serve God and started coming to Jesus and started listening to the word and started opening her Bible and started practicing and doing things. In time, she kept coming to the service, and she would hear me time and again, you need to start a small group. You need to get discipleship. You need to join a small group. And she decided to join one. And she started to grow. There's a place where we grow in Christ when we come to Jesus, and it's good to come to a service like this. It's great to listen to the Word of God. But there's a final stage, and really this is the heart of what I want to talk about today. This idea of not just coming to Jesus, not just hearing the Word, but actually putting it into practice, actually applying it, the reality of living it on a day-to-day basis, not just on a Sunday morning. And then after this, when you get out, there is a place where Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, are we applying? Are we putting the Word of God into practice? Now, there's this interesting story about a rich young man in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Just then, a man came up to Jesus. The Bible says he came to him and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" So here's the story of a man, and this is a picture of what lordship looks like. This is a man who comes to Jesus. So come to Jesus. All this I have kept. Now Jesus, he asks him this question, what else do I do? Jesus tells him, you got to obey the commandments, you got to do all of this, you got to follow God, you got to do all this. And then, all this I have kept, the young man said. I've done it. What do I still lack? Never ask that question of Jesus, amen? You get into trouble. What do I still, in other words, I'm perfect. I haven't done anything. Your problem is you obey the commands, you've heard the word, but am I Lord of your life? It's the issue. You call me Lord, Lord, and yet you do not do what I say. So this guy came to Jesus, heard the word, and here's Jesus what says, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Here's a young man who came to Jesus, heard the word, but the application of that in his personal life was something he could not ascribe to. And I want to say something to you this morning about this. There's certain things that God will tell you and I in a general basis. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not, all of these things. Right? There's certain things that God will tell all of us. Go to church, tithe, all these things. There's certain things that God will say to you very specifically. He told me to leave my job and be a pastor. He might tell you to be extra kinder to your wife. He might, you know, if you don't have a dishwasher, he might ask you to sponge the dishes yourself. Are you here? In other words, the practice may be different for all of us, but the lordship applies to each one of us. There's things that God will ask you and me to do on a daily basis on our personal lives. I was in the van, you know, that we have a satellite parking. And I was in the van making my way to the building. And I sat beside one of our staff members. This was a weekday. And he asked me, Pastor, I didn't realize you go to work very early. I said, I hate being late. And he said, oh, really? I think we should all not be late. So I was telling this guy this. I said, and here's a revelation for you. I mean, if you take your salary, you hear, and you divide your salary by the number of hours where you're supposed to work, and you divide that amount by the number of minutes, that's the cost of every minute that you're late. Are you still hearing me? Okay. So if you multiply that by 10 minutes, if the cost per minute is 10 pesos, then every 10 minutes is like 100 pesos that we're losing every day. Now, that's not a small amount of money, but when you multiply that to 20 million Filipinos, hello, 20 million times 100 is 2 billion a day. And if you multiply that by 30 days or 20 days, that's a heck of a lot of money. And see, well, how does that connect to lordship? You know what? Some of you, God's lordship for you is get up early and go to work early. Amen? You know, it's nice to, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. You know, sleep early, put down the video controller, go to sleep. You're 40 years old. Stop doing that. Jesus is Lord. Put it into practice. Don't come here and cry every week and wonder why it's not happening. Some of you, it's your health. Stop it. Stop doing that bad habit. Enough. He's Lord. Come to Jesus, yes. Cast your cares upon Him, yes. Hear His word, yes. But at the end of the day, put it into practice. Because until you do, nothing much is going to change. And when the torrents come, you'll be caught unaware and wondering, why is this not working for me? He's still here. Look at the person beside you. If you're new here, he loves you. He really does. He just talks that way. Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about rich people here. Not just. You may not be rich, but you may be self-contained and self-absorbed, and you're so good at the thing you do that you don't really need God. He's not just talking about being rich. He's talking about lordship. Jesus, you're Lord over my life. That's what it means when you say Jesus is Lord. You're the boss. I do what you say. If God tells you to empty your bank account today, do it. If God tells you to go and be a billionaire, do it. Whatever He tells you, you do it. Now be careful with this lordship issue. Here's a story, well, it's a verse from James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. You know, when you listen to the word, you end up deceiving yourselves, but He says, do what it says. The only way, some of you, I read the Bible, love is patient, love is kind. You read it, that doesn't mean you are patient, and that doesn't mean you're kind. Put it into practice. Do what it says. This is a no-brainer. But the way you have a solid foundation at some point of your life is you've got to just do what it says. When I was meeting with Jojit and Jam, and they met Dennis, who's their small group leader, and they started talking about the Word and the importance of the Word and the importance of reading the Bible every day. It doesn't have to be long, but it's reading it and praying and putting it into practice. And they realized that as they read the Bible, that if you are living together, you're not married, there's a curse that goes with it. And there's a curse that goes to the generations of your children. And it goes down to multiple generations of children. And they were so shocked at that reality that they said, we're going to have to get married. Doesn't matter that we have a baby and that I'm pregnant again, but we've got to have to, in other words, we've got to put this into practice. And they did. And they got married, and they started to blossom and started to grow, and they kept reading the Bible and said, wait a minute, the Bible says we're supposed to tithe, and we're supposed to be generous. And they started tithing, and the Bible says we're supposed to do this, we're supposed to do that, we're supposed to reach. They started obeying the word, and I finally caught up with them. I met with them. It was fascinating just talking to them. You know what she said? Pastor, it's so simple. All you have to do is do the word. She said it in Tagalog. She said, all you have to do is do it. And then she unfolds her story. She starts telling me about her story. She said, you know, Pastor, I'm a daughter of a maid. And I was a maid. And I tried very hard to build a business, tried to make it, tried to be, I got an education, made it. It was like something had a hole. It never made it there. Until I came to church. And I came to Jesus. And I heard the word. But more importantly, I put it into practice. I actually just lived it out. And all of a sudden, it started to work. All of a sudden, I love this guy. I love him now. All of a sudden, the business started to blossom. And now he said, our hardware business has grown. And we don't even understand how it's growing. Because you don't have to. Let me tell you a secret, and this is true. The areas where I shake the most are the areas where I haven't made Jesus Lord over. There are not very many of them. But I find that those are the areas when that's being talked about and that's coming to my mind, it shakes me. When you talk to me about Malaysian Airlines that collapses and I fly a lot, that doesn't bother me as much. I'm ready to go. I know that Jesus is Lord over my life. My salvation is made. And I definitely know that heaven is a much prettier place than this. That doesn't bother me. There's certain things in life that doesn't bother me, a big building and capital fundraising. Every now and then, I probably get a glitch of a worry, but at the end of the day, Jesus is Lord. He's building that, not me. But there's one area of my life that I get a little queasy when I think about it. And I'll just be upfront with you. You're our congregation here. It's the area of retirement. When I start thinking about the next 10 years, and my hairline is somewhere here, right? And my energy level is not as where it's supposed to be. And I'm not going to be as useful as I would want to be. And I'm learning. I'm waking up every day and saying, God, you're Lord over my life. But you know where you shake? You shake. Folks, we shake in the areas where he's not Lord. And we will be unshakable when we put everything under his lordship. My marriage, my salvation, my children. Every now and then I get shaken because my kids live in high rises. When there's news of earthquake and all of this, they shake me. But at the end of the day, God, you've got your tickets. They're heaven bound. Then the shaking stops. Every time we put ourselves under the authority and the masterfulship, if there's such a word, I don't think, I just invented one, the headship of Jesus, the shaking stops. Now, here is a story, and I'll end with this. John chapter 21, verse 18. Jesus talking to the apostle Peter, one of his senior guys, and he says, he had just resurrected, and there's Peter, and they're having this conversation. He says, very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. He's talking about lordship. He said, Peter, you know, when you were younger, you could do whatever you wanted. You were my disciple. You followed me. You heard the word. You did whatever you wanted. Now, by the time when you are old and you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. This is lordship. Peter, there's going to be a time in your life, if I'm truly Lord of your life, that you're going to do the thing that you don't want to do. And you're going to have to decide whether I'm Lord or not. And this is what establishes your foundation. Now, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death. They're not talking about a blessing here. They're actually talking about a kind of death that Peter was going to experience. And if you understand Christian history, it is well believed that Peter died being crucified upside down. He refused to be crucified upright because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my master. At that point, Jesus had become seriously the Lord of his life. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me, lordship. And please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying everybody will die like Peter. Again, this is something specific to him. But there is a moment in each of our lives where God's going to call upon us to ask us, will you follow me as Lord of your life? Now, here's what Peter did. Typical. This would be my reaction if God said the same thing to me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This is another guy that was following. This is the Apostle John, who's the author of this book. The guy asked the gal to say that Jesus loved him. When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? This is the typical thing we do. Lord, why do I have this problem? Why not him? Why is he so rich? Why does he have that car? Why does he drive that? Why can't I have what he has? Here's where our problem with lordship happens. We all want to be independent. We all want to be a cut above the rest. We all want to be the guy that's unique. But when it comes to lordship, we say, oh, what about him? All of a sudden, we backpedal. says, and Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? I'm Lord. You must follow me. Not everybody's going to be called to be a minister. Not everybody's going to be called to be a public servant. Not everybody's going to be called to be a mayor. Not everybody's going to be called to be an architect or a builder or a contractor. Not everybody's going to be a doctor. But all of us at some point will be called upon God to make him our Lord. That's what Jesus was saying. You must follow me. Put it into practice. Now, as I close, this is Georgie and Jem now. They started out getting free childcare. Now they're the ones offering the free childcare service. They're putting it into practice. And as I close today, I want to read to you what happened to Amy. Interesting moment. As Amy came to Jesus, and as Amy heard the word of the Lord, Amy began to realize things that she had already forgotten. She was molested as a young girl. And she realized that she was not just molested, but that she grew under the headship of a father who was a pervert. And all these painful memories started to well up, and she had no place to bring it to. No human relationship, no human remedy, no psychological therapy would solve it. She needed to come to Jesus. And if you read his article, he'll say that for years, that word started to come in. And as that word started to come in, she started to put it into practice. Jesus, you're Lord over my life. I feel this way, but you're Lord over my life. I'm obeying your word. I'm doing what you say. The story ends. It's a portion of that. 7 years later, Amy leads our ministry to help people find healing and wholeness from all kinds of sexual and relational struggles. She's helping others become God's restored masterpiece. It's a journey. Lordship does not happen overnight. But it's also the stages of lordship. We come to him. We cast our cares. We carry our loads. We hear the word. We imbibe the word. More importantly, we put it into practice. At some point, there's that muscle, that's that foundation, that's that ability that when the storms hit and the torrents come, we will not be shaken. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close with a word of prayer? Just be still before the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. There's some of you here, it's in the area of just, Jesus is just quickening you. The Holy Spirit's quickening you to learn to come to Jesus on a daily basis. Just obey him in that area of your life. Lord, that I would come to you every day. Lord, in the morning time, in the noontime, Lord, in the nighttime, Lord, in every single moment of my life, Lord, teach me to learn to come to you, to cast my cares upon you, to know that you will never reject me, that you will always love me. But Lord, teach me as well to hear your word, to learn to read the word for myself, to pray your word, to trust your word. Give me ears that hear, Lord. But more importantly, God, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, give me the power to put it into practice. That I might not be the one that you would ask, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? But Father, even as I come before you and I stand before your throne with praises and thanksgiving, I can say, Lord, I am one of your followers. And if you're here today and you're saying, God, I want to be the one that says, you are indeed my Lord, would you just lift up your hands towards heaven? And trusting that, God, you'll teach me how to come to you on a daily basis, hear your word, listen to your word, and God, to be able to put it into practice by grace and the power of your Holy Spirit. This is my prayer this day, God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Jesus is Lord. We are dismissed.